That was a strange Old Testament reading, wasn't it? And that was my fault. That was a typo on my part. That should be Isaiah 29, 14 through 16. So, do you want to read 29, or do you want me to go ahead and read that one, Dorothy? And it is the correct passage that is typed if you have the sermon manuscript. It is the right passage that's in there, although that also has a typo and says that it's Isaiah 9. So I don't know how late at night it was when I typed that up. It was probably either too late or too early in the day. Isaiah 29, 14 through 16 says, "So I will again do amazing things with this people, shocking and amazing. The wisdom of the wise shall perish, and the discernment of the discerning shall be hidden. Ha, you who hide a plan too deep for the Lord, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay? Shall the thing made say of its maker, 'He did not make me'? Or the thing formed say of the one who formed it, 'He has no understanding'?" This week we're starting our summer-long series on the first letter to the church in Corinth. These letters to the Corinthians are written by the Apostle Paul to the church as a way to keep in touch with them and to instruct them and guide them through the difficulty of figuring out what church was all about. This is in the very earliest history of the Christian church. And when some of the people who Jesus walked and talked with on earth were still alive, the church was beginning to come together. Today's passage is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, found on pages 1771 and 1772 in the Pew Bible. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, "I belong to Paul," or "I belong to Apollos," or "I belong to Cephas," or "I belong to Christ." Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. Word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. I get a little antsy whenever anyone refers to a famous author or preacher as the founder of Church XYZ, or when someone says, "I go to Pastor so-and-so's church," or when we worry about how many new converts are being made through baptism or membership or whatever measurement we want to measure numbers of people by. I get that sometimes you need a way to gauge if the word is getting out there. Sometimes you have to look for a variety of reasons to find out who started a particular church or ministry. But this passage is why that all makes me a little bit nervous. The church in Corinth was developing cliques. And those cliques were based on who they considered to be the founder of their particular branch of the church and how many people each of those leaders had baptized. As they developed loyalties to these particular leaders and preachers, rivalries developed. Well, all of the good Christians follow Cephas. No. All of the good Christians are followers of how Apollos does things. It's sort of like if we were to go around saying, well, we all know that Catholics are okay, but the real Christians are Presbyterian. Or our church is the best because Pastor Carissa is really the only one who knows what she's talking about. Those other guys are hacks. It's amazing to think how little time it took for this budding Christian church to start forming cliques and rivalries. And so Paul says to them, seriously, guys? You're taking all of the power out of the message when you just fight and bicker like this with each other. He's so upset with them for worrying about whose leader baptized how many and which people are following which leaders that he says he's glad he didn't baptize very many of them. He doesn't even want to be associated with this sort of clique building. Paul wants to be associated with one thing and one thing only, the good news of Jesus Christ. The cross and what it means for us is powerful. But Paul says that we deny it the power it deserves in our culture when we allow ourselves to be divided in the way that the church in Corinth was, rather than being united by the power of Jesus. The church is supposed to be presenting a common front, sharing a common outlook and value system. And that doesn't mean that they'll always agree on every detail or that they'll all react in exactly the same way in any situation. It doesn't mean that they all have to worship in the same ways with the same words. But it does mean that there is one important thing that they always circle back to, no matter what, is the message of freedom in Jesus Christ being proclaimed. He scolds the church that it's not their job to go around deciding who is more worthy because they're following the right person in the right way. We aren't followers of a certain group or leader or clique. We are followers of Christ. We aren't members of just one particular church that happens to be more right than the other ones. We're members of Christ's body. We aren't members of a 50-member church or a 100-member church or a 1,000-member church. We are members of a universal church that includes millions of people. When it comes down to it, the thing that matters is the cross of Christ. Even the divided Corinthian church can come together if they will only remember that this is their foundation. They aren't founded by Cephas or Paul or Apollos. They are founded on the knowledge that they are joined to God through Jesus Christ. They're reconciled. They're made right with God because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, church folk don't tend to put as much emphasis on the importance of being part of one denomination over another as we used to. And I think that's okay. Don't get too nervous. I'm a born and bred Presbyterian. And I think it's important. It's important to know what the traditions and the history of the church or denomination you're part of in order to fully understand why you're worshiping and praying the way that you do. But it seems that through the years, denominations are starting to get a little bit better about working together. We found other lines for defining what it means to be a Christian, and that's important in today's cultural climate. It's important that we continue to find those common grounds. Because if you watch the TV news or read articles online or in the paper, if you listen to talk radio, you would get the impression that being a Christian is about believing a particular way about a certain political or social issue. Some people don't see how you could possibly be a member of that other, whatever other is for them, political party, and still be a professing Christian. All the good Christians vote for candidate such and such because such and such voted yes for X and no for Z. And when you watch TV, read the news, listen to talk radio, it's hard to decide or figure out which ways good Christians are supposed to vote or do or talk. This would have driven our old buddy Paul over the edge. Where is the unity? Where is the fellowship, the brotherhood, the sisterhood that we are called into as believers in the saving work of Jesus Christ? Are we proclaiming a gospel of freedom and unity and reconciliation when we form cliques and play King of the Hill? Does it really spread the light of Christ when we point fingers and make accusations? When asked what it means to be a Christian, many non-believers seem to think that it means adhering to a certain set of rules about how to behave, and that the different denominations or groups in Christianity are about how to read those rules, or how loose we are with the rules, or how strict we are with them. But Paul says, no, that's not what we're founded on. Jesus came so that we could have freedom from that sort of rigid rule following and constant condemnation. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. Our foundation is the cross. We are called into fellowship on that basis, not into zealous culture wars, not into cliques. When Paul talks about unity and being of the same mind, he's talking about repairing, reuniting, not dividing and conquering. It's about remembering that we have one foundation, and that foundation is not the denominational symbol on the sign out front. That foundation is not the way we vote or the social causes that we take up. That foundation is not the speakers or the authors or the preachers that we follow. That foundation is not our skills at bringing new people in the door. That foundation is the cross of Jesus Christ that brings us together in the calling to a united proclamation that He is Lord. When that is the foundation of all that we say and do, the other stuff falls in line. Anything else falls aside as incidentals to the gospel of freedom and reconciliation in Jesus. As we begin our journey through this letter to the Corinthian church, we are wise to remember that it's not just an old, irrelevant letter because the church in Corinth isn't still there. This is a letter written to a church divided, which is what the church in America, all denominations of the church, is today. There's a great amount of wisdom in this book that we can glean. And it all begins with this message that Paul opens his book with. Start with the important thing, the good news of freedom in Jesus Christ. Proclaim that with unity. And as a united front, avoid bickering and clique building, because that is the foundation on which we build all things. Amen.